Good morning. Merry Christmas. Thank you. We have a lot of young people at our house who don't understand why we keep telling people Merry Christmas, because they'll say, well, Christmas was last Tuesday. And then that gives us a chance to talk about the 12 days of Christmas and that it's okay to say Merry Christmas during those 12 days. And then, of course, they throw in, but don't forget to say Happy New Year. So to all of you, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. We welcome you to worship this morning here at St. John, and a special warm welcome to any and all visitors who are worshiping with us this morning. We'll invite you right now to stand and greet those around you and go ahead and say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Thank you. Let's take a few moments now to prepare. To prepare our hearts and our minds for worship. We begin with the brief order of confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. We take a few moments now to talk with God. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, we have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen us with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in our hearts through faith. Amen. Our opening hymn, hymn 288.
Thank you.
I want to thank Sherry Schaefer for leading us in worship this morning with her music. So Sherry, thank you. And of course, we pray and think of Pastor Russ and Susan as they're enjoying a little time off. And of course, we pray for Pastor Bauer as well and for all the work that he does here at St. John. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Together, the prayer of the day. Shine into our hearts the light of your wisdom, O God, and open our minds to the knowledge of your word, that in all things we may think and act according to your good will, and may live continually in the light of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
The first reading is from 1 Samuel. Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. His mother used to make for him a little robe and take it to him each year. Then she went up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Then Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, "May the Lord repay you with children by this woman for the gift that she made to the Lord." And then she would return to their home. Now the boy Samuel continued to grow both in stature and in favor with the Lord and with the people. The second reading is from Colossians. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. To each indeed you are called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
I'd like to invite all of the youth, and that includes middle school and high schoolers as well, come on up. And I've invited all the acolytes who are here to come up with us as well. So if you're in middle school or high school, as well as elementary and below, come on up. Find a spot to sit. Good. Good morning, Kiki. Lauren, good morning. Good morning. How has your break been? Has been good? Who's ready to go back to school? Should we ask moms and dads who's ready for them to go back to school? Should we do that? Hey, I want you to listen in this morning's gospel, which we're about to hear, because Jesus is doing something that you do, well, officially 180 days out of the year, but really you do this every day. I want you to watch and listen during the gospel. Jesus kind of goes to school today. This is the only scripture in the whole Bible today where we hear something about when Jesus was young. I mean, we hear about when he's a baby. I mean, we hear about that. We just celebrated the birth of Jesus. And then in every other gospel, in Matthew and in Mark and in John, it basically goes right into Jesus starting his ministry. But today, Luke includes something from when he was 12 years old. Jesus does something today. So listen for that. Okay, so I have a question. You've learned a lot about Jesus over the years, all right, and about God and about the Holy Spirit. Tell me something that you know about Jesus. Start us off, Emily. What's that? Jesus has the fruits of the Spirit. Yes, great start. Thanks, Emily. What do you think, Donovan?
He loves us.
You want to give the end of the message today? That's exactly, there's going to be a thing on the screen that says Jesus loves you. Yes, Donovan says Jesus loves us. Way to go, Pastor. That sounds good. That sounds good. What else do you know? Say that again. He ascended into heaven. Yes. What else do you know? He is a part of the Holy Trinity. Yes, that includes God the Father. Yes, Jesus Christ the Son, and then the Holy Spirit, part of the Holy Trinity. Good, Caleb. Yes. What else do you know?
He died on the cross for us.
He died on the cross for us. And because of that, we get to go where? When we die.
Heaven.
Yeah, we get to go to heaven. That's exactly right. Yeah, that's kind of a big thing. So thanks for bringing that up. What else do you know?
He gives us love, and I don't remember what that is. He gives us love so that we can give us good love back.
Huh. He gives us love that we might go out and love others. Yeah. Yeah. He kind of showed us what love is like. How we should love people. Should we love people no matter what? Yeah. Yeah. Jesus showed that. Hey, do we know everything about Jesus? Do you think that we as adults know everything about Jesus? And that's kind of the point today, is that even Jesus was sitting in school, learning and talking and asking questions. And so we can learn a lot from that as well. I want to show you, we as adults, I grabbed that book, didn't I? Old age. We as adults always want to learn. This is a book that I'm reading right now. It's called Eats with Sinners. Okay, and it's written by a pastor who kind of looked at all the times that Jesus sat with people who were kind of hated by other people during Jesus' life. And yet he sat with them and he ate with them and he loved them. And so I'm learning things about Jesus too, just by reading and by studying. And that's what the people in our congregation do as well. they're always learning and wanting to know more about Jesus. Pastor Russ is incredible with his knowledge about things, but even he takes time to go study and learn. So listen for Jesus. He's kind of in school today. Listen for that during the gospel. Hey, would you fold your hands and pray with me and repeat after me, and the congregation can join us too. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus. We know you love us. And all this we pray together, we say, amen. Hey, thanks for coming up. Congregation, please stand for the gospel acclamation. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when Jesus was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended, and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in their group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for Jesus among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard Jesus were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw Jesus, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." Jesus said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" But they did not understand what Jesus said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and Jesus was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. It is an honor being able to worship with you this morning and speak with you. And again, we think of Pastor Russ and Susan as they're enjoying a little bit of time off with family. Well, I'm going to start out with a little bit of humor this morning. And the first one that I'd like to share with you is the time when a Sunday school teacher was finishing a lesson that they were giving on honesty. And the teacher said, "Do you know where children go if they don't put their money in the offering plate?" "Yes, ma'am," a boy blurted out. "They go to the movies." He was certainly being honest. And then a pastor had been advised by his doctor to lose some weight. 30 pounds was kind of the magic number, and the good pastor took those words seriously, and he changed his driving route to church because it normally took him past his favorite bakery, and he thought he better avoid that. Well, one morning he arrived at church, at Bible study, with this gigantic devil's food cake. And the people in the class kind of thought, you know, look at Pastor, you know, they were kind of giving him a rough time. But the pastor kept smiling, and he told this story. He said, "This is a very special cake. I accidentally drove the way that took me towards the bakery this morning. I figured that there would be some delicious things in the window because, well, there always are. So I prayed, Lord, if you want me to have something delicious, like a delicious cake, let me have a parking place directly in front of the bakery." And sure enough, the eighth time around the block, there it was. Before we dig deeper into our gospel verses for today, I want to just talk and maybe for some of you review a little bit about what the Gospel of Luke is. It's a letter. It's a letter written to one specific person. Luke was a doctor. He was a physician. And he was always a believer. And he was writing to this man by the name of Theophilus. All right, so here's kind of a common picture of what Luke looked like. And this gospel that we have is his letter that he wrote to a man named Theophilus. Scholars believe that Theophilus was actually a Gentile, perhaps a Roman citizen who had heard of Jesus and had learned about Jesus and had started to believe in Jesus. But Theophilus wanted more information, and so Luke, who, being a doctor, being a physician, was very thorough, took very detailed notes, searched through everything. I mean, Luke even writes in the first four verses of his gospel. These are Luke's words to this Theophilus. "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word." I mean, Luke did his homework. He talked with people who had been with Jesus. He read documents. He knew things. He talked with people who were there. "With this in mind," Luke writes, "since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught." Theophilus was a student. He wanted to know more. Luke was a student. He wanted to know more. And so Luke found out things, he wrote about them, and then he sent this letter to Theophilus. He wasn't expecting that some 2,000 years later that it would be used as a gospel lesson in churches all around the world. This was a letter that he was writing. Now we know that Jesus was Jewish. And we know that Jesus was very strong in his Jewish faith. And his family was very faithful as Jewish people. And we read that today, our first verse of our gospel. I mean, Luke is trying to show Theophilus that Jesus came from a very faithful Jewish family. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. Now, the Old Testament talks about three major feasts that God expected the Jewish people to celebrate. God really intended for all Jewish men, and women and children could go as well, but especially all Jewish men, to go to Jerusalem to celebrate these three festivals every year. Two of them in the spring, that's the Passover and the Feast of Weeks, sometimes called Pentecost. And then in the fall was the Feast of Booths, kind of like our Thanksgiving. The original law said that all men were supposed to go to Jerusalem for all three of those. Well, especially for poor people and people who lived a long way from Jerusalem, this was a lot to ask. And so most people just went to Jerusalem for the Passover. And the population of Jerusalem during the Passover just swelled. It was incredible how many people got to the city. Jerusalem, as I did some looking, typically had a population of about 80,000 during that time. But during the Passover feast, including the Passover feast when Jesus was crucified, 3 million people. I mean, that's amazing. And so you can imagine how crazy of a place Jerusalem would become during this Passover time. And so Luke is writing this to Theophilus to show Jesus grew up in a very faithful Jewish family. And then Luke starts to write in our gospel today about one particular Passover. When Jesus was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. Now it's interesting that Luke uses the word up, because if you look at a map, Nazareth, where they lived, was right here. And Jerusalem, where they were headed, is here. Typically, we might say Luke would use the term down. Jesus and his family went down to Jerusalem. But if you look, here's Jerusalem right there. Look at all the mountains that are there. And so here's Nazareth right there. The elevation of Nazareth is about 1,100 feet above sea level, and Jerusalem is about 2,400 feet above sea level, almost 2,500 feet. And so even though it's down on a map, it was up as far as elevation was concerned. And so Luke uses the term that they went up to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And to me, as I studied for today, that number 12, Jesus was 12 years old when this took place. 12 years old in the Jewish faith is your last year of officially being a child. When someone turns 13 in the Jewish faith, whether they're a boy or a girl, there's a celebration. For a boy, it's called a bar mitzvah, where they officially become a man. They can take part in the synagogue. And so Jesus has been taught a lot. He has learned the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament. I mean, think about this. Jewish children, the goal was to memorize the first five books of our Bible, the Torah. To memorize that. I mean, that would be 187 chapters from our Bible. Can you imagine memorizing that much by the age of 13, by your 13th birthday? That's almost 6,000 verses. It's over 156,000 words that you'd memorize. I can't remember memorized recipes, let alone that much information. But this is what Jewish children did. This was kind of what was expected of them, including Jesus. So Jesus is still a child. And this is then what happens on his 12th Passover. Luke writes, after the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy, Jesus, stayed behind in Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it. Mary and Joseph had no idea. Thinking that Jesus was in their company, they traveled on for a day, and then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. And I know, I've thought, how in the world could two parents leave their kid behind? And then I became a parent. And as a classroom teacher, I know that that's often one of our big fears when we'd go on field trips. You check through attendance 2, 3, 7 times to make sure that you have everybody. But I envision, it's like if somebody went to the Iowa State game down at the Alamo Dome, down in San Antonio, or they're headed to the Hawkeye game here in a couple of days. Okay, and they're with their friends, and they make this trip, whether they're taking an airplane or they're driving, and they're so pumped up, and they get to the stadium, okay, and then, hey, who's got the tickets? I think so-and-so has the tickets. I think they've got them. I don't have